Turn in your Bibles this morning, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to preach a challenge, a warning to these graduates, but certainly the message is not just to the graduates, for it is a message from the Word of God, and that's to all of us. And so I hope that you'll take it and receive it as a message from the Lord to you and to me, not just a message to these graduates. But I did try to pray and seek the Lord, and it seems like this is the way the Lord directed me and put these thoughts on my heart. And I hope this will be a help to all of us today and in the days to come. Before we read our text today, I want us to go to the Lord in another word of prayer. And I'd ask you to pray for me and pray God would help us, and then pray that God would just have His will and way in the service. And we normally pray over the children that we bring in the bus ministry. And so this morning, as we pray over the message, I'd ask you to join with me also and pray for these children, that God would touch their hearts and work in them as well. All right, let's bow our heads if we could. Father, we pray this morning, Lord, we're thankful first of all for the privilege to be here. And we thank you, Lord, for Clay and Andrea and their testimony down through the years. I pray that you'd bless them in a special way, that you'd guide them and direct them in their lives and protect them. And Lord, may they always serve you and live for you and love you. I pray this morning, Lord, as we try to preach, that you give us liberty and power. I'd ask you that you'd speak to every heart in this building. There may be some here that are not saved today. And I'd ask you, Lord, that you'd speak to their hearts and help them to realize how important, Lord, being saved is. And I'd ask you that you'd open the blinded eyes, that you'd speak to every heart that needs to be spoken to. And Lord, that each one of us would listen and be attentive to the Word of God this morning. I pray that you'd touch our children that's in the church today. I pray that you'd bless them in a special way, set a hedge about them, help them to know, Lord, that you love them, we love them. God, I pray that you'd work in their families and their homes, set a hedge about them. And out of their midst, would you raise up great and mighty servants and many servants, and Lord, out of them, and Lord, through them, God, may you bring glory to yourself. Now, Lord, for what you do, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Now, I'll stop reading there. In our text, primarily in verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Peter was reminding the individuals of the importance of the words of the prophets and the apostles. He told them in verse 2 that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now, of course, we have the word, the words of the prophets and the words of the apostles in the Word of God in these days. And so this admonition here to be mindful of the words of the prophets and the apostles is good to you and I. And he said and encourages them to be mindful of them. And that means to have your mind full of these commandments. Have your mind full of these words. And that is a great encouragement and a great, I guess, exhortation to our graduates and all of us this morning, that our minds be full of the Word of God. That we should continually keep our minds and let the Word of God guide us and direct us and help us as we proceed through life. If we forget what we've been taught, then we'll be in grave danger. And I've spent almost 14 years of my life preaching the Word of God to you, as you have said, under my ministry down through these years. Your parents have spent 18 years of their lives stressing the importance of the things of God and the Word of God by bringing you to church and having you here under the gospel and in Sunday school and the teaching of the Word of God. And there's no way that I could go back over all of it and cover it this morning. There's just no way. All the things you've heard, all the things you've been taught, all the words, the commands, and the portions of the Word of God. I don't have time to go back and remind you of all of those things this morning, but I would like to bring at least three things to mind out of the Word of God that I hope bring them to your remembrance. Stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance, as the Apostle Peter said, that I believe of the utmost importance. As you started out in school 12 years or more ago, one of the first things that you learned was your ABCs. Can you say your ABCs? Can you write your ABCs? You know, a lot of people graduate from school these days, can't read or write. That's awful, isn't it? But I know they can, and I'm thankful for that. But the ABCs are the foundation of everything, really, that is taught in the classroom. If you don't know the ABCs, you can't even learn math. You can't learn hardly anything without knowing your ABCs. But I know this. I want to give you some ABCs to remember. And I hope that all down through the years, and especially over the next few years, as you make some of the most important decisions of your life, I hope that you'll remember the basics. Remember the ABCs. And that's what I'd like to preach to you on. Remember your ABCs. First of all, let's start out with the word A. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5. The word A this morning stands for adversary. If you don't remember anything else, you better remember these three little acrostic words, I guess is how you'd say that. Adversary. 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. This text of Scripture tells us that our adversary is a real adversary. And he is clearly defined in this text as being the devil. There's a lot of individuals in this world that do not believe in a literal devil. But I want you to know the Word of God tells us that Satan is just as real as God is real. He is a real adversary. I read one time where parents came to a pastor and they said, preacher, our child is going astray. He's not doing the things that he's been taught. And we tried to raise him right. And we tried to keep him in church. And we tried to teach him about the Lord. And we tried to pray with him every day and instill some values in him. And yet he's going astray. And the pastor looked at the parents and said, you've taught him the Word. You've taught him about Christ. You taught him how to pray, but you did not teach him about his adversary. And I want you to know this morning that there is a real adversary out there. And though you've already no doubt have been tempted and tried, and the adversary has made advances in your life to try his best to destroy you and to defeat you and to destroy your life and your testimony, I want you to know that the temptation does not end at graduation. And if anything, it's going to get worse in the days to come. And I want you to always remember that there is an adversary out there and that he is a real adversary. And this text tells us that he is the devil and he is destructive. He walketh about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And it would do us all well to realize that there is an enemy out there. You children in the balcony need to realize that there is an enemy out there. He is the devil. He's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is destructive. He is bloodthirsty as an old lion. I thought many years ago as I watched a program on lions how that they would catch prey in the weakest of moments and destroy them and take their lives. I saw a special where they would catch, if they could, they'd catch like buffaloes out in mud where they couldn't run very well or things like that. And they would sneak up on them when they got bogged down and they would catch them and begin to claw and chew on them and literally get them down and begin to eat them alive. They also would watch a pack of animals, of herd animals of some kind, or a herd of them, and they would keep their eyes on them, and they would find one that was weak or sickly or one that strayed behind or that got away from the rest of the herd, and they would pounce on that thing and bring it down and destroy it. And I've seen pictures, no doubt you have as well, where those lions would have just blood all on their face where they were devouring these animals that they had destroyed. And the Bible likens our adversary to a lion like that. And I want you to know he's not going to walk right up to you with a red suit on and horns and a pitchfork in his hands. He's not going to catch you when you're at your spiritual peak, but he's going to try to watch you, and he's going to try to catch you at a weak moment. He's going to try to catch you astray, if you will. He's going to do everything in his power to destroy you if he can. And daily, as we go through life, we all need to be remembered. And you need to remember, hey, there is an adversary out there. He is a real adversary. And he seeks to destroy each and every one of us every day that we live. This adversary plays for keeps. It's serious business. And I know you know that, but I am reminding you of things that have been preached to you, and the Word of God teaches that you always need to remember there is a devil that seeks to destroy you. And he'll literally eat you alive if he can. The Bible tells us that Satan is deceptive. He's bloodthirsty, he's destructive, he's real, but he's deceptive. It's like I said, he's not going to walk right up to you in a red suit. He's not going to just appear to you. The Bible says he is transformed as an angel of light, and he's very deceptive. He doesn't just come up and show his cards, but he comes to you in various manners, and he comes to you in various ways, and he tempts you, and he lays snares before you, and he'll do everything in his power to deceive you, if you will, to lure you astray and try to destroy you. You realize today that Satan does not play fair. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care how you were raised. He doesn't care who loves you and who's concerned about you. He's not interested in your future. He's not interested in anything about you except to devour you. And you better believe that there's young men out there, Andrea, that would seek to devour you, that Satan would use to destroy you if you're not careful. And Clay, there's some young ladies out there that if you're not careful, Satan will use them to deceive you. And man, they'll tell you everything. They'll talk to you, ma'am. They'll talk sweet to you. They'll do everything in their power to deceive you and destroy you. They can be tools in the hand of the devil. The adversary is real. And I'm telling you, listen, you better not forget the basis of your education is your ABCs. But you better never forget there is an adversary. And every day you live, no matter where you are, whether you're sitting in church, whether you're off at school, whether you're at your job, whether you're in your family, in your home, there is an adversary that seeks to destroy you. And he'd love to do nothing better than that. And I want you to know everyone sitting in this building ought to know this morning there is an adversary of the souls of men that is against us, and he is just prowling around. He is ready to pounce on your family. He's ready to pounce on you. He's ready to pounce on your children. He is bloodthirsty. He plays for keeps. He is deceptive, and he will destroy you if you're not careful. You better always remember there's an adversary. A, what does A stand for? Come on, we're having a lesson. This might be your last lesson before graduation. Adversary. You better not forget that. Don't forget adversary. Number two. Well, before I go on, I almost forgot this. The Bible gives us two admonitions in this text. Be sober. Be vigilant. You know what that tells me? The word sober indicates, of course, don't drink alcohol. Is that a good warning? You say they would never do that. No, I don't think they would either. But then again, my mama didn't think I would. And there's a real temptation out there. You better stay sober, because those types of things will get you in more trouble than anything you know of. They'll cloud your judgment. But not just alcohol, but it implies being clear-headed and watch and think clearly. Think clearly. Keep your eyes open and your mind. Don't let it be clouded by love. Don't let it be clouded by peer pressure. Don't let it be clouded by the excitement of experimentation. A lot of times, folks, they go out from under mom and dad and they begin to get their freedom and they're excited about the things of the world. And they're excited and they go after and experiment with things that they wouldn't normally experiment with. But don't let your judgment be clouded. Don't forget there's an adversary. Then he said, be vigilant. That means be very cautious. Give extreme attention to this. You can't afford to let your guard down for a second. Be vigilant. It just takes a split second to let your guard down and the old lion to get a hold of you. So be sober and be vigilant. There's an adversary. Number two, James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. A stands for adversary. B stands for brevity. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so B, it stands for brevity. In this text of Scripture, the Bible is warning us about boasting about tomorrow. It talks about, in verse 13, ye that say today or tomorrow we'll do these things. They're all excited about the things of tomorrow, and they're boasting about what they're going to do. And the Bible talks about that in verse 16, but now you rejoice in your boastings. You know what he's saying? He's talking about us looking into the future and saying, boy, things such as, I'm going to college and get my degree. I'm going to town tomorrow. I'm going to marry somebody. I'm going to have a family. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. He's talking about boasting of tomorrow and all the things that we're going to do. And listen, it's good to have hopes and goals and aspirations in life. But there's a key in there. And that key is not boasting about what you're going to do, but to say, if the Lord be willing, that's what I'm going to do. It talks about our boasting about tomorrow. All of the things that you've got planned in life, I'm sure they're good things and they're exciting things. But listen, we really don't know from one day to the next if we're going to live to do what we plan on doing. And every day that we should be reminded, hey, life is very brief. And this may be my last day. Amen. This has been so real to me in the last few days. All of these that talk about the things that they're going to do. And they're rejoicing over these things. But listen, we may be rejoicing over things that will never happen. I'm not preaching doom and gloom to you this morning. But I think every one of us, every day we live, should be reminded there is an adversary and that the brevity of life, that life is brief. He talks in this text about the brevity of life in verse 14. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. In other words, it's here and it's gone. He didn't say it was like a vapor. He said it is a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. Guess what? Last year was my 20th anniversary of my graduation. And I want you to know those 20 years are gone just like that. Yesterday, we went to North Carolina and Kelly had her 20th year anniversary. And I want you to know, I know it's hard for you to understand. You probably see, it probably seems like to you that the last 12 years have been the longest 12 years you could imagine. But I want you to know from here on out, it's a racetrack. Somebody say amen right there. I cannot believe that 20 years has passed since I graduated from high school. I can't believe that. I still feel like I'm a teenager. Does anybody else feel like that? I didn't say my body felt like it. I said me inside this body. When I get out and try to play basketball, I realize I'm not a teenager. But you know, I'm the same person I was then. I've hopefully matured a little bit and learned a few things and hopefully have a little bit more wisdom, but I'm the same person. I just live in an older body. Does anybody else feel like that? I mean, my spirit, it's an eternal spirit. I'm going to live forever. My body's not going to make it, don't seem like much longer, but my spirit's going to live forever. And I feel just like I did when I was 18. Not physically now. But it's been 20 years and they're gone just like that. And you need to be reminded that yes, we're celebrating today and we're so proud of your accomplishments and who you are and how you've turned out. We're proud of you. But you need to realize that it won't be but a blink of an eye and you'll be 20 years down the road if the Lord doesn't come first. Or if you live. Life is very brief. And if we need to remember anything, it is this. There's an adversary, and life is brief. The brevity of life, it is swiftly passing away. And I've been so reminded of that this very week. Amen. I hate to keep bringing this up to the family, but I can't help it. Chad, 30 years old. He lived 12 years beyond what you are right now. He went to bed on Thursday night and never saw the light of another day. 30 years old. Life is brief. And then I thought about Will Scott. 18 years old. Gone to be with the Lord. At 18 years old. To be honest, when I heard, when they finally decided on what day to have this graduation day, I thought in my mind, I would love to have Will Scott come in here and speak to you this morning instead of me. Because I promise you, he would have a different perspective even than what I have. That same week when I thought about that, I heard that he was not doing well at all. And that maybe they had called hospice in or whatever for him. And so I thought, well, I guess that's not possible for him to come. And obviously it wasn't. But I thought to myself, what would he have to say to you? How would his perspective on life be so much different than our perspective? He knew he didn't have long to live. What would he say to every one of us this morning? I can only speculate what an 18-year-old young man with such a testimony as he had, I can only speculate as to what if he could stand in this pulpit today and take my place, and I would gladly have given it up. I would love to hear what he had to say to two graduates that are facing the rest of their lives. I imagine if he could step in here this morning, he'd let us know that there are some things that are far more important than what most of the world puts their emphasis on. There's some things far more important than money and houses and degrees and all that sort of thing. I guarantee you he'd let us know there is an adversary out there. He'd let us know that life is brief. B stands for the brevity of life. The Lord says, don't boast yourself of tomorrow. Proverbs says that. I used that in the funeral this week. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Every day you live, every day any of us live, we should be reminded it might be our last day. And we better not boast about what we're going to do tomorrow. You know what that scripture in James says? All such boasting is evil. It's evil because we're assuming that we're going to be in tomorrow. That we're going to be a part of tomorrow. It's almost when we boast over what we're going to do, it's almost as if we got some control over it. But God said, no, you don't have any control over it. So you better not boast about what you're going to do. You better say, if the Lord be willing, then we will do this or that. That's the attitude. And day in and day out, every person in this building better be reminded, this might be my last day. B stands for the brevity of life. Life is short, and this world is vain. The third thing is C. Care to venture what that stands for? Care to guess what C stands for? If we need to remember there's an adversary and remember the brevity of life, the third thing we should remember is Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Every day of our life, no, there's a devil, the demons of hell, there's temptation that would like to destroy us. Every day be reminded, this could be my last day. And every day, last but not least, we better be reminded of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hebrews 12:2 tells us, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I've been preaching along those lines some in the last months. But I want you to be reminded that He is Savior and Lord. Not just your Savior, but He is to be your Lord, the director of your life. And you've heard me say it many times, I do not believe that He can be your Savior without being your Lord. A lot of people just don't want to go to hell. They just want a ticket out of hell. They want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. They don't want anybody telling them what to do. They don't want anybody directing them. And these people, they live in sin and they go their own way and they do their own thing. And then they expect to go to heaven when they die. My Bible teaches contrary to that. I'm not talking about a works-based salvation, but I am talking about a salvation that changes an individual. Salvation that works. Faith without works is dead, James said. And I believe our lives will back up our testimony. Savior and Lord, listen, you know He loves you. You know He died for you. Let Him guide your steps. Let Him lead you in life. Let Him be your Lord every day, not just today, but in every day of your life. Let Him be your Lord that day. Let Him guide your steps. Let Him direct your path. I promise you one thing, and there's no way that I can tell you what life will teach you. There's no way that I can help you understand what experience will help you understand. And I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. There's no teacher like experience. I guess that's a good way of putting it. But all I can say is, if you will let Him lead you and be your Lord every day, you'll be glad you did. And if you don't, you'll wish you had. I guess I'm trying to say, not that you haven't, but stay on the path. Don't stray. Don't err. Let Him guide your steps. Let Him lead you in life. He loves you. He's the Savior and Lord. He's not just that, but He's the intercessor. When you fall, He'll be there to pick you up. When you make a mistake, when you sin, and you will, I have, I do, He'll be there to forgive you. The Bible says He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's the mediator between us and God, and we need a mediator. You're going to need a mediator. You need one just like I need one. He stands before God on our behalf. Remember Him. And then I thought about this. Not only is He our intercessor, but He's also our judge. One of these days we're going to stand before Him and give an account. It's not just talking about these two on the front row. It's talking about all of us. One of these days we're going to stand before God and give an account. Revelation 1:13 through 15 says this. It's a description of the Lord. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and His hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and His eyes were as a flame of fire, and His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and His voice as the sound of many waters. Revelation 19, 11 and 12. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. There's a statement that is repeated twice in this text of Scripture, or one in each one of these Scriptures. And that is that his eyes were as a flame of fire. I know that you and I cannot imagine what Jesus Christ is going to look like when we stand before Him one day. But I see in Revelation that His eyes are mentioned as looking like a flame of fire. Can you imagine what that's going to look like? Can you imagine what kind of an awesome sight it's going to be to stand before the Lord on Judgment Day and have to give an account to Him? My eyes are just the eyes of men. But you know what? Even men's eyes can be pretty intimidating. I got called to jury duty this week. We was in the courtroom and looking around and seeing what was going on. And all of a sudden, one of the bailiffs came in and said something like, you know, "All rise, the Honorable such and such," or whoever, however they said it. And in walked this man dressed kind of like I am today. Everybody in the courtroom stood. He walked up behind the bench. And he seated the congregation. And I thought to myself, I've seen him before, and this very same one. I've been called to jury duty a bunch of times, but I've seen this very same one before, the last time I think it was when I went to jury duty. And they tell you no cell phones in the courtroom. None. And that judge is up there talking. And all of a sudden, somebody's cell phone rang, some lady's. If you could have seen the look. I was embarrassed for her. And if I had been her, I would have just wanted to disappear. Crawl in a hole. And he rebuked her right on key. Somebody's cell phone's going off, for those of you that can't hear it. But I want you to know, when that judge, knowing the authority that he carries, when he gave her that look and began to reprimand her for what happened and then warned the rest of the crowd, I want you to know that was an intimidating thing. I was glad I didn't have my cell phone anywhere near me. But can you imagine what it's going to be like on Judgment Day? Maybe when the saints of God at the judgment seat of Christ stand before Him, or at the great white throne judgment when sinners are going to stand before Him. Can you imagine what it's going to be like then when He calls us by name and we stand before Him one at a time and we give an account? It's an intimidating thing to be in an earthly courtroom. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to be in the heavenly courtroom? When all eternity is going to be at stake at the white throne. And our reward is going to be at stake at the judgment seat. Can you imagine how intimidating that's going to be? And those eyes of the flame of fire look into the hearts and the minds and the face of every man and woman that's ever lived. Can you imagine that? I say to you that every day we live, we should remember the ABCs. Remember there's an adversary. Remember the brevity of life. And remember Christ. He's our Lord, our Savior, and He will be our judge one day. That should be something that's on all of our minds. And I'll close with this passage of Scripture in Isaiah. Isaiah 28, 9 through 13. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, those that are mature, he's saying. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. You know what he's saying? I gave them precept upon precept. I gave them line upon line. I reminded them over and over and over again. And he said, this is the rest. He said, in my words, there was rest. There was peace in the precepts of God. But he said, they would not hear. But the word of the Lord, goes on to say in verse 13, was upon them precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. God said to Israel that He reminded them and He gave it to them over and over and over again, just like I've tried to do and just like your parents have emphasized over and over and over and over again down through the years. Line upon line, precept upon precept, and reminding you again of things. You know exactly everything I've preached this morning. You've heard me preach it many, many, many times. Do you realize you probably heard me preach over 1,000 messages? That's amazing. Probably over 1,000 messages you've heard me preach. Line upon line, precept upon precept, but Israel wouldn't hear. They wouldn't listen. Here's what John Gill said about that. Though it was delivered in so plain and easy a manner to them, and such methods of instruction were used gradually and gently to instill knowledge into them, yet so stupid were they as not to receive it, and so perverse and stubborn as to willfully reject it. He goes on to say they would go on in their own sinful ways, backslide from God, and be broken by His judgments, and be ensnared and taken in the net of the Babylonians, and carried by them into captivity. Listen, you may forget how to do an algebraic equation one of these days. Algebraic equation. You may forget some of your friends from school. You may forget a lot of things. But I encourage you and I exhort you not to forget the line upon line, the precept upon precept, and not to forget these three things: your adversary, brevity of life, and your Lord. Don't forget those things down through the years. I love you, and I'm very proud of who you are and what you are. And I always think about this. When I preach to these graduates, I always think to myself, what would I want somebody to tell my own children? What would I tell my own children? What would I remind them of as they graduate? And I can't think of any three things that we could remember more than those three things that I just mentioned to you. Do we need to have a final test? How many thinks we ought to have a test? All right, we'll give it to Lindsay since she's in favor of it. A is for adversary, B is for brevity, C is for Christ. You've been blessed, both of you have. Blessed beyond measure. Blessed beyond most of what the world knows anything about. You've been blessed in great ways. You have great potential. And I say to you, don't waste it. Be careful. Don't throw it all away. Do what you can. Serve God. Live for Him down through the years. And you'll be glad you did. And all of these people in here would say amen. And we're praying for you and we love you. But before I present the Bibles to these graduates, I'm going to ask this whole congregation to stand to your feet just for a moment.